Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. On today's show, I've got some headlines for you that I need to share. These are important facts that you need to wrap your head around, because this information will have a dramatic impact on your life. Now, Joe Biden just signed an executive order that said the IRS will be disbanded by 2024. That's right. The IRS will be disbanded by 2024. And he goes on to say in that executive order that we as Americans will no longer pay income tax. Happy April Fools. Yeah, Joe Biden didn't do any of that stuff. But, you know, this is a day where people might try and pull the wool over your eyes. This is a day where people might have a little bit of fun at your expense. It is, after all, April 1st. And I'll tell you what, when I was a kid, I used to get into all the pranks and things like that because I like to have fun. I like to, you know, pull the wool over somebody's eye. And, you know, most people took it pretty well. Some people get a little angry and, you know, I just didn't prank them the next year. And I enjoyed having pranks pulled on me. But of course, once you're in that mindset that people are out there to prank you, you kind of get your guard up. You start thinking about stuff and you start realizing, okay, is this legit or is this something not legit? And I think April Fool's Day is a great day for us to talk about retirement. Because I think that the retirement system as it exists right now is nothing but a very big April Fool's joke. Yeah, you heard me correctly. I mean, the current plan has you starting as early as you can, putting aside as much money as you can into whatever retirement accounts have been made available to you. Maybe you've got a 401k, maybe you've got some IRAs, maybe you're doing something on the side with stocks, and you're putting that money in there with the notion that that money's going to grow. As a matter of fact, your financial planner said, you know, your typical growth rate is probably like 8 to 10%. And if you take a look at what the stock market's doing today, it paints a very rosy picture that, hey, you know what, we're up at very high levels in the stock market. And when you look back, we've never been at numbers like that before. So doesn't that solidify the concept that stocks are just going to keep going up and up and up? And you know, that money that I put in 10 years ago is worth so much more money today. Yeah, well, you know, that's the picture it presents. But let me take you back to like 2007 and 2008, when the stock market didn't do so well and stocks fell. They fell dramatically. Let me take you back to, say, last year around this time frame, and the stock market took a major hit. I mean, when coronavirus was introduced, all of a sudden the markets got rattled. And although that market recovered, it still was a wake-up call. Because if you were in a place in your life where you were thinking about that big pile of money that you were going to live off of, and you saw that balance dramatically decrease in a matter of moments, literally a matter of moments. I mean, if you look at the stock market and you analyze where it makes great gains, it doesn't like spike upward normally. No, it takes time to make these long gains. But when disaster strikes, it doesn't take long for that stock price to drop. I mean, it's like trying to catch a falling hot knife. And you really need to sit down and think about what you're doing for retirement. Now, maybe you're super busy. Maybe you're working in a career that's got you hopping 40, 50, 60 hours a week. You're on call maybe. You've got that, you know, phone that's got your company's number attached to it, so they can get a hold of you at all hours of the day in case crisis erupts. You're trying to balance family. You're trying to balance having some sort of lifestyle. And sometimes it might just be easier for you to carve that money out, take it out of my paycheck before I ever see it, put it into that investment account or whatever accounts you're doing, whatever you're doing, and just put your hands together and pray that whoever is managing that money for you has your best interests in mind. Statistic after statistic after statistic tells me that you're on a losing game plan. That whatever you're doing for retirement, it's not going to be what you need it to be when you get to that place of retirement. Now, that's not everybody. I mean, there are people that will do just fine with that big pile of money somewhere in their future. But that's not everybody. As a matter of fact, those people that are going to be just fine, they're in the minority. The majority of you, you're not saving enough, and that money's not growing enough. It's a recipe for disaster. I firmly believe that there's a better way to get yourself to a point of retirement, and it doesn't happen overnight. It's not a do it right now and magically, poof, you're retired. No, it takes some work. It takes some effort. It takes an education. You have to learn how to correctly invest. And we believe that the correct investments are in real estate. And not just any real estate. Residential income producing real estate. Yeah, because, you know, everybody needs a place to live. I mean, we pretty much proved that over the last year, did we not? So what we're going to do on today's show is I actually am curious about April Fool's Day. I'm gonna get into some of the history, and there's some actual April Fool's jokes that have been played throughout history that I'm going to share with you periodically between the show, because we should have fun. I really think we should have fun on April Fool's Day. And you know what? The IRS isn't going away. But I'll tell you what, real estate gives you an opportunity to pay the least taxes of any taxable group. Are you interested? Stick around. We'll talk about it.
Dale Wamsley explains how he found that speck of light that got him into the lifestyle.
I had a guy who used to come into the health club every day and work out for 4 hours a day, sit in the jacuzzi, swim, play racquetball, was happy, looked great, tan all the time. And one day I just asked him, what do you do for a living? And he said, Dale, I own real estate.
Well, do you own real estate? Register for our live online free workshop and find out how you can get all the things you want out of life with passive income. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Brought to you by Lifestyles Unlimited. Lifestyles Unlimited Executive Vice President, Business Consultant, and Successful Real Estate Investor Lynn Murrow on the critical difference between those who succeed and those who fail.
Whether you have a small business, whether you are running a division of a large corporation, whether you're a CEO of a Fortune 100 company listening to us right now, or whether you work for somebody else, you have an area of responsibility and you are presented with a novel challenge by a novel virus that's going on right now. And the key to all of that is keeping your head up and looking for opportunity when what you want to do is curl up in a ball and go to sleep. And that is the critical difference between people who succeed right now and people who fail.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our business and provide for our families. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. So I got a news flash for you. Mars is being sold parcel by parcel, first come, first serve. Contact 1-800-YOU-GOT-HAD. That's right. 1-800-YOU-GOT-HAD. Yeah, because it's April Fool's Day. I'm just coming up with stupid things to say because I want to have fun. I want to have some fun. Part of being retired is enjoying my life. Part of enjoying my life is having fun. And I firmly believe that fun needs to be integrated into everything we do. Everything. Because if you're not having fun, then you're not having fun. I mean, think about it. So we're talking about April Fools, and I went to history.com because I figured of anybody out there, they're probably the ones that are going to get it right. And I was, of course, on my guard to make sure that they weren't April fooling me when I was looking up the origins of April Fool's Day. I know it's kind of a paradox, isn't it? So here's what history.com says. They basically say that historians believe that April Fool's Day dates all the way back to 1582. I know that's a long time ago. Back when France had switched from, at that time, the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar. And they did it based on something called the Council of Trent that was agreed to in 1563. Well, in the Julian calendar, as in the Hindu calendar, the new year began with the spring equinox around April 1st. Now, people who were slow to get the news or failed to recognize that the start of the new year had moved to January 1st and continued to celebrate it during the last week of March through April 1st became the butt of jokes and hoaxes and were called, you got it, April Fools. I mean, there were pranks involving having paper fish placed on their backs and being referred to as the Poisson d'Avril. Yeah, my French is terrible, which means April fish. And that April fish was said to symbolize a young, easily caught fish and a gullible person. Yeah. I have a firm belief that what you're doing for retirement right now is what a gullible person does. You fall into the herd mentality. You do what everybody else is doing. I mean, after all, isn't that part of what we do as human beings as we're trying to understand our environment? We go to school, we do the things that people tell us to do, we get good grades so that we can get into a college or maybe a trade school. And all of that is designed to position us to get a higher paying job than if we had just gone into the workforce straight out of high school. You know, and that additional education, well, it costs money. Some people get full ride scholarships, but not everybody. Some people take out a lot of student loan debt in order to pay for that education to position themselves for the workforce. And then when they get into the workforce, nobody in college taught them how to invest in 5 years or less. That is not part of the collegiate curriculum. Let's step it back a little bit. Why don't they teach that in curriculum? Well, because here's why. I believe that the educational system is really designed to create the working class, to create the people that do all the heavy lifting in our society that makes the cogs turn, that makes the wheels go. You see where I'm going? Yeah. So we're all embracing a middle class mindset. We really are. And when we go to work for the organizations that we go to work for, some of those organizations have a quote unquote retirement plan. And that's part of that compensation package, right? I mean, when they sit down with you and they say, hey, you're going to get the job, let's talk about money. And you're going, man, I hope it'll blow this. Yeah, because you're going into a gunfight with a knife. I mean, that's really the way it works. But I will give some of you credit. Some of you people do your homework. But that's part of the whole middle class mindset. You go to work, they're going to give you some kind of retirement plan. You're going to put money into that retirement plan. Meantime, you're making more money than you've ever made in your lifetime. And that's kind of a good feeling, right? Because, you know, you went from flipping burgers to maybe, you know, designing computer chips or whatever you do. So you're making more money. And you're proceeding through life and you're stuffing money aside into this retirement stuff. And, you know, you're not really paying attention to it. Come on, really. You're not paying attention to it. It's auto control for you. It is, because every once in a while you'll get those statements and you'll look at it and you go, oh, it looks like it's doing okay. So you think everything's fine and dandy. Until you get to a day when things aren't fine and dandy. All of a sudden, the stock market reaches a point where it's going to correct. They like to call it a correction. I like to call it a crash. Yeah, and I've lived through a couple of those. I've watched my money just erode overnight. And, you know, your financial planner is going to say, hey, man, it's dollar cost averaging. So all of your stocks, they just went on sale. And there is some truth to that. But the stock market still has to recover the losses that were potentially made when the stock market went down. Now, people will tell you, unless you sell that stock, you really never took the loss. And you know what? I would agree with that. You never really took the loss, because there are two things that occur when you buy and sell stocks, and that's it. You buy them, you get in at a certain price, and then you continue to buy more stocks if you're investing for the long haul, or maybe you're in mutual funds. And when the price goes down, you get more fractional shares. I get that, but that price still has to come back up. And you have to look at what you are receiving in the form of returns. Now, the stock market's been doing pretty well. I mean, as a matter of fact, I'm going to take a look at, let's see. Well, here's the Dow Jones. Man, it looks like it's in record high territory again. I mean, that just seems like it's going to keep going and going and going. Let me take a look at the NASDAQ. Okay, not quite record high territory, a little bit below that, but man, it's way up there. So that says the stock market is healthy as of today, right? So my question for you is this: what rate of return are you getting in your investments? You really need to know that. And here's the other thing. When you look at the rate of return, you need to distinguish between the cash flow that it provides for you and the equity growth that it provides for you. Yeah, because the cash flow is probably not there. Because anytime they buy or sell anything within your portfolio, any gains go right back into the portfolio. It's not distributed to you. So you can't use that money to offset your cost of living. Do you see a problem there? Now, the equity gain, that's primarily what you're getting. But here's the thing. In real estate, we get both of those components. We get the cash flows. We get the equity gains. And the equity is, there's different components of that. We make money five different ways in real estate. And we come back from the break, I promise I will talk about the taxation. Stick around.
Del Wamsley talks about understanding the system.
Guy told me the other day on the radio, he says, you know, I understand the system. They let the stock market go up to feed our ego, to think we're getting somewhere, and then they crash it on us and take it all away. So now we're stuck. He says, I've lived through two of those cycles, so he started investing in real estate to get away from the cycle.
Are you ready to break the cycle? Start investing in real estate today. Find out how. Join Lifestyles Unlimited. Start with our live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. You know, I just don't have a prank for you. My mind is blank, and I really want to prank you, but I'm not going to, because I think what we need to do is we need to focus on some sobering information. And that sobering information is that what you're doing for retirement is probably not going to work out for you. Now, you may be pulling up your documentation that your financial advisor sends you, or however you invest and you track your money. And you may look at that and you may go, hey, I'm not doing too bad. I'm like 40 years old, and I've got $300,000 in there. Okay, that's actually not too bad. But what are the circumstances? How much money do you feel you need to have in retirement? And when will you retire? And how long will you live? And are you calculating Social Security, and how much is that going to be? And by the way, you just said you were 40. What's wrong with being retired at the age of 45 instead of 65? Had you considered that? I'm just throwing that out there, because there is a legitimate path to retirement in the next 5 years. And it's really has to do with repurposing that money that you have saved up, because that's really a savings account. Yeah, it makes money, but it's not doing for you what real estate can do for you. I want to go in about three different directions here, but I'm just going to pick one because I promised you I was going to talk about taxation. See, one of the things that is really interesting about how real estate functions are the different tax laws that are out there that are designed to stimulate and promote investment. And investment in real estate traditionally has been where about 70% of all wealthy people have made their money. Okay, you got guys like Bill Gates that invented Microsoft. You got that Jack Dorsey guy that's running whatever he's running. Is that Twitter? I don't know. I don't pay attention to that stuff. I mean, those people made wealth by creating something, right? They created a business. Well, we do the same thing in the real estate investing world. See, we create little businesses. Every single family house, I operate as a business unit. All of my multifamily investments are operated as a business unit. And those business units provide cash flow, and they provide equity and different ways to increase that equity. Now, the taxation piece, that's really the coolest piece. Because what the taxation piece allows us to do is to protect the income streams that come in from our investments, the cash flow. Because what we're allowed to do is take the asset and we're allowed to take paper losses through the form of depreciation. See, and I'm not making this up. This is all in IRS code. The IRS says you will depreciate the value of any real estate asset that's residential, by the way, because other forms of commercial, they've got a different schedule they follow. 27 and a half years. Because the concept is that property will wear out over time. So that assumes that, you know, you build it new and it's going to last 27 and a half years until it finally falls apart. Now, we don't let it do that. We maintain those properties. But when we buy that asset, the government says, okay, you have a new asset, which is one of the reasons that we fix that asset up before we take it over. Or if it's multifamily, we've got a game plan to renovate all the units in that asset over time. So what we're doing is we're creating a value for the property. Now, you don't get to depreciate land cost. So you have to carve the land out. The IRS says land is always here. It will be here forever. So you don't get to depreciate that. But you get to depreciate the improvements on that property. So here, let me just give you some simple math. Let's say you got a $100,000 house. Let's say the land value is $14,000. So you get to depreciate $86,000 over a 27 and a half year period. I mean, it seems like a long time. And we usually don't hold those assets for a long time. Maybe we'll hold a house for 2 to 3 years, possibly 5 years. It just depends on our strategy that we're following. So a depreciation schedule allows you to write off about $3,127 a month against the income that you make on that property. Let's say that property is producing $400 a month. So essentially, you're going to make $4,800 a year off of that one particular house. You will write off $3,127 in depreciation costs. So you're only taxed on $1,672. And that's at whatever your ordinary tax rate is. And if you've got a lot of real estate where you're taking a lot of depreciation, you don't have a lot of tax liability. You really don't. And then you're thinking, okay, well, you know, what happens when the price goes up and I want to sell that property? Aren't there like capital gains out there? Yes, there are capital gains. And what about that depreciation recapture stuff? That's there too. There's a couple ways to get around it. The first way is you just do a 1031 exchange, which is a legal process to move all of your tax liability on that particular asset onto follow-on investments. Now, there's timelines you have to follow, but it allows you to defer those taxes. And you can defer those taxes indefinitely throughout your lifetime until you get to a point where your lifetime ends. and your heirs take over that property. And any tax liability that you had goes away when you die. Your heirs take over the property at whatever the value of that property is in the future. It's pretty cool. Now, the other way that you can kind of get around paying taxes is that you buy more assets. You buy more assets that produce more depreciation. And you can use that depreciation to offset any taxable gains that you have. We're getting really into the minutiae here, but there are strategies. I mean, if you're worried about taxes, there are strategies out there that will help you pay the least amount of taxes of any taxpaying person in the United States. And it's all completely legal. It is all very legal. This is not an April Fool's joke. It is very legal. I mean, we had, let me go back to some of the folks I've interviewed over the last couple of weeks. Frank and Madeline, I talked to them on Tuesday, right? They told me that their tax rate, their effective tax rate before they got into real estate was 36 to 40%. And they live in Texas, so there's no state tax. But when they started investing in real estate and they started getting all these depreciation write-offs off of all of these investments, they were able to shrink that tax liability down to, I think they said they're like in the 8%. And they're making way more money today than they did before they got into real estate investing. In a 6-year period of time, they redeployed a lot of capital into a lot of deals. They're in over 80 deals. You want to talk about retirement? Yeah. And you get to meet people like them and talk to them, and they'll share their story with you. We come back, I'm going to prank you. Stick around.
Here's Lifestyles Unlimited founder and CEO, self-made multimillionaire, and national radio host, Del Walmsley, on the effective way to run a business.
There are people that run their businesses on a shoestring. If you own an apartment complex and you have no cash, that's not a very effective way to run a business. My businesses, each and every one of them, have cash savings. In other words, we can make no money or make very little money, we'd still survive. For those of you that haven't thought it through that far and you don't have any cash savings, let's get you in here and get you educated on how to save what you already own. The mom and pop businesses are going to take a major hit. If you've been running your business that way, you need to get into Lifestyles right now and learn how to operate your business the right way.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
So I said I was going to prank you, and I'm really not. I'm really not, because I think it's important for us to take some of this stuff seriously. But I also said on the show we have to have fun. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you something that happened in the fast food industry with regards to April Fool's pranks. Okay, so back in 1996, Taco Bell, maybe you haven't heard of Taco Bell, but if you haven't, they're a fast food restaurant chain specializing in tacos, burritos, things like this. Fast food, Mexican food. It's, you know, when I was a kid, I was kind of into it. That was my go-to place. Anyhow, they duped people when they announced that they had agreed to purchase Philadelphia's Liberty Bell, and they intended to rename it the Taco Liberty Bell. Yeah, I actually remember that prank. Yeah, I'm actually that old. In 1998, after Burger King advertised a left-handed Whopper, scores of clueless customers requested the fake sandwich. Yeah. I know. Hey, man. So going to Burger King and ask for a left-handed Whopper. Now, okay, that was back in 1998. But these are just, you know, these are simple and they're fun little pranks that don't go anywhere. And maybe some people kind of get caught up in it. But at the end of the day, nobody gets hurt. But when it comes to your retirement, you really need to not be a fool about what you're doing. And I didn't intend to call you a fool. I want you to understand that what you're doing now for retirement, it may blow up in your face. You may get to a point 20, 30 years down the road where you realize that it's not working. And then those dreams and those plans that you had, they fall apart because there's no money to support that lifestyle that you think you're going to have. See, I think it makes a lot more sense to take your hard-earned money and to invest it into tangible assets. Tangible assets that pay you cash flow and tangible assets that allow you to grow the equity in the property. Yeah, I mean, because real estate's going to pay you five different ways. There's actually a sixth way in multifamily. So if you haven't heard the five different ways, I'll just tell them to you real quick. The first one is cash flow. We use the cash flow that comes off of our assets to either pay our ordinary bills or we set it aside to buy more assets. Either way works. There's equity capture. When we buy property, we buy that property at wholesale pricing. We buy property that nobody else can or wants to buy because we know how to remedy that property. We know how to bring it back to its glory days. And by doing so, and by investing correctly, we capture equity in the property. So in other words, if there's a property that's worth an ARV, or after repair value, of $170,000, and we can buy that property wholesale for $100,000, and our total costs for renovations and other expenses associated with transacting the property, or is maybe $50,000, our all-in cost, we're at $150,000, yet the value of the property is $170,000. So there's $20,000 of equity sitting in that property that we immediately take control over. Yeah. So there's $20,000 worth of wealth that we created that we didn't have before we started this project. There's also the fact that real estate appreciates over time. That's not a guarantee. But historically, real estate tends to double in value every 20 years. So, I mean, if you just use a simple number of like 3.5% increase per year, you can see how property values can go up. I mean, let's just talk about a $170,000 property that goes up 3.5%. Yeah, it's like an additional almost $6,000 in equity on top just by owning and operating that property. And the other thing that's going to happen with that equity is you're going to be paying a mortgage because we believe in leveraging your property. By leveraging your property, you get the best returns. When you make that mortgage payment, a portion of that mortgage payment goes towards principal. So you're paying down the balance owed, which is not as fast of a way of growing equity, but nonetheless, you're growing equity because you're reducing the principal balance on the debt that you borrowed. Oh, by the way, the lender doesn't participate in the equity growth that's created on that property. No, because they're in it for what they agreed to be in it for. They're making their returns off of amortized interest, and we're making our returns by operating that property correctly and growing the value of the property. And then there's the whole tax thing that I talked about in the last segment. Now, in multifamily, it's a little bit different because the properties are traded as business units. I mean, they're you actually look at the financials and you determine value based on the financials. So when you grow the revenue streams in multifamily and you control the expenses, you increase the overall value of the property. That's what we call by forcing appreciation up, because the value of that property is measured by the income streams it produces, not necessarily by the fact that like properties sold in a particular area through a competitive analysis. That's basically what your appraiser does. I think that's a pretty compelling reason for you to figure out how to do this. Now, there's two paths you can go by. You can do the path of, I'm going to try something, I'm going to get a result, and if the result isn't exactly what I want, I'm going to tweak it a little bit, and I'm going to get a different result. And if that result's not quite where it's supposed to be, I'm going to tweak it some more. So basically, what you're trying to do is figure it out on your own. There are people that have figured it out on their own, but there's a lot of information out there, and how do you know what information is the right information? The other method you can take is just join an organization that can give you everything that you need to make you successful. That's what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited. We don't sell real estate to you. No, we don't trade in our members' deals. We educate you on the correct way to invest. We get your mind focused away from that middle-class mindset into a millionaire's mindset. Because you really have to think differently. You really do. Because everything you've done in life is focused on that middle-class model. And if you want to break that cycle, if you want to get away from what you're doing, I mean, think about it. If you're 40 years old, you've probably been in the workforce for almost 20 years or even longer, depending on when you started working. What have you got to show for it? I'm asking seriously, what do you have to show for it? Is this the life that you imagined 20 years ago when you were in college? It might be, it might not be, I don't know. But there's still time for you to change the path that you're on. Look, a guy like me that was a career military guy, that was focused on getting a pension and just trying to get by as a single income household in a very expensive state that we lived in, if I can stumble upon this information, absorb it, put it to work for me without it becoming a full-time job, I'm pretty confident you can too. And the other thing is, you're not going to go at it alone. You're going to have the opportunity to meet other people that are traveling that journey with you. Some of those people have gone before you. And they're going to turn around and say, hey, you know what? Follow me. Because I did what I was told to do, and I got the results that I'm looking for. You're going to have other people that are in the same boat as you are, nervous, scared, maybe fearful, if this is going to work. Because that's human nature. That's part of that middle-class mindset. They don't want you thinking outside of the box. They just want you to do what they tell you to do. And I'm here to tell you, you don't have to do that. And there's no April Fool's joke assigned to anything that I'm telling you. I'm just telling you there's a possibility for you to break the cycle, to do something different. I have seen countless people transition from where you are right now into where I am right now, which is in a place of retirement, where the passive income that comes in from my investments meets or exceeds my ordinary expenses of living. At that point, I regain control of my life. And I choose to work because I enjoy what I'm doing. I love doing what I'm doing. And it allows me additional income streams to buy even more real estate because now I am working on something called the lifestyle. Yeah, I'll tell you what. 5 years is not a long period of time, and that is not an April Fool's joke. You can get started right away, and you can take advantage of all the benefits of membership and everything that real estate can do for you. Go to freeworkshoplivestream.com. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.